Join me, please, in Ephesians chapter 3. Lord of love, Lord of light. Lovely language. Before we look at Ephesians 3, I want to remind you just of language we say so regularly. From our Lord said, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. That's our familiar language. We also find in Paul's account in 1 Corinthians 11, this is familiar language again. I want you to remember this. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim his death until he comes. I want us to keep those in mind. Those are our familiar words we turn to so often, and we should. But right now, I also want you to join me at the very end of Ephesians chapter 3, the last two verses. There's a little prayer that closes this section. In some ways, it's a transition from grand theory to practice in what follows. But let's just delight in the language that we're given here. Beginning of verse 20, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I hope you can appreciate the astonishing claim embedded in this. This one who can do more than we can ask or imagine. That's pretty big. Because of who he is, to him. And then Paul repeats it, right, in 21. To him, again, to him be glory. And that's the language I want to think about for a moment. Where does glory lie according to this verse? Now, other places may be added in other verses, but here we're told. Glory is found in the church. To him be glory in the church. And in Christ Jesus. Just saying about that. Brother Paul, in his reading, looking for your power and your glory, the psalmist said. And then in his prayer, Brother Paul added to glorify you. So I hope you understand that all that we're working on is creating glory for God. And so what we're doing now is not merely taking a tidbit and a sip. It is building glory for God. Why is that? Well, one, it is an act of obedience. Do this. And when we do it, we're bringing glory to God. When we do it in memory, in remembrance, we're bringing glory to God. When we do it in proclaiming his death until he comes, we are bringing glory to God. We are doing the work of glory in God. I want to, and so it's happening in the church. We are kind of, in a sense, we are enacting what it means to be the church. You remember the Greek word for church, ekklesia, the called out people. And that's not purely, even in the New Testament, not purely a religious term. It is the called out assembly. So when we gather this morning here in the rain, we are the called out people, called out, gathered in his name to do things in his name. And this is one part of that. And now I want to build on a word that appears both in this verse and in the Corinthians passage we read. As often as you do this in memory of me. Here, to him who is able to do. I mentioned this last week. I just want to develop it a little more. The word do in each case comes from the same root, our word poet, poetry. Yes, I'm here advertising poetry, but which is a hard sell, I understand. But think about this. How does the word that we think of meaning rhyme maker or something like that, short lines rhyming, how is that related to this doing here? Well, let's remember the original act of doing where God speaks the world into existence with words. Hebrews 11 reminds us of that. We make, in some sense, I won't push it too far, in some sense, you understand that a poet is the maker of worlds with words. And I'd like you to understand that this morning, we are doing this. We are making something with our words. And according to this passage, if we're doing it rightly, what we're making is we're making glory in the church. For to him be the glory. Let me remind you, but it's not only in the church, it's also in Christ. And so in that sense, well, I think glory to God already is embedded in Jesus because of what he did. His death on the cross, his submission to the will of God, his utter, extreme faithfulness. Surely he has borne our grief in the song Brian led from Isaiah, and full self-sacrifice, another song. Glory to God exists in Jesus. But glory to God exists in the church when we, with our words, enact. And notice what's already happened. We've already had a man stand up in front of us and read from God's word, one of our elders, and he prayed, interweaving words of God from God's word into his prayer. So there we have words that are shaping a moment of glory giving to God. And then we've had a brother lead us in songs, and all of us bring our voices in musical words to give glory to God. In just a moment, we're going to have an impressive wall of men standing up in front of us. And two of them are going to lead prayers, more words offered to God and offering this moment to God. We are, with our words, giving him the glory to him in the church. The called out, think about this, the called out people are calling forth the glory of God. So now, in one sense, our little chewing and sipping is kind of all wrapped up in this language. We'll have more words later that further add to the glory of God. I remind you of some of the language that we find in the book of Revelation as well. I'm using some of our words from this morning. Chapter 17, verse 14, we remember there, these shall war against the Lamb. And the Lamb shall overcome them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those with him are called and chosen and faithful. This morning, may we be those people. They were called, and then they were chosen, and then they were faithful. I'm not sure how to sort all of that out, but they're all three there. And this morning, we, the called out people, the church of God himself, the people that he gathered in his way through the work of Jesus, he says, you are my people, and I want you to do things together in memory of me. I want you to do things together proclaiming me. And we do that this morning. One of the songs, well, actually the language from Isaiah, surely he has borne our grief. Surely is a wonderful word. By the way, you remember it. It's also at the very end of that famous Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will walk and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us think this morning that surely, surely we, in our humbled state, bowed before him, having heard the words of prayers about to be offered, we can take the emblems and enact obediently, rememberingly, proclamatorily. I made that one up, I think. We're going to celebrate. And when we do that, we're not doing nothing. We're doing something primary, foundational. We are giving glory to him in the church. He is in our midst. May we do this well.